The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
1 Timothy 4:1 talks about doctrines of demons and taking heed to them. If we do take heed to them, is it talking about that we might lose our salvation? Let's talk about this question today on Grace in Focus. Welcome, friend, to this new week and this new episode, which is coming to you from the Grace Evangelical Society. We office in North Texas. To learn more about us, go to our website, faithalone.org. Look for our national conference coming up May 19th through the 22nd. You are invited to come. You can find details there on the website. Also, look for a magazine called Grace in Focus, the same name as this radio program. It has a free subscription, and it's a great magazine. Your only cost is if you live outside of the 48 contiguous United States, and in that case, you'll just need to pay the postage. So that website is faithalone.org. Now let's get to our discussion of the day. And with that, here is Bob Wilkin, along with Mike Lee.
All right, Bob, we have a question from Mr. D today. And he's asking about 1 Timothy 4:1, and if that passage teaches that a person can lose his salvation. I'll go ahead and read that verse now. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So I think Mr. D's question is, if I give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, have I lost my salvation?
Okay, that's a good question, Mr. D. And I think the question comes down to the issue of apostasy. Now, apostasy is a falling away from the faith. Typically, we think of apostasy in doctrinal terms. In other words, an apostate is someone who has defected on one of the fundamental principles of the faith. For example, the deity of Christ is a fundamental truth. So if someone believes in the deity of Christ and then stops believing in the deity of Christ, they become an apostate. Another example would be the inerrancy of Scripture. If someone believes the Scriptures are God's Word and they're without error, and then they come to believe the Scriptures are just man's book and filled with errors, then they become an apostate. In terms of everlasting life, if a person believes that by faith in Jesus, I have everlasting life and I can never lose it, and then later the person believes that, no, I've got to persevere in good works, I've got to live a godly life, I've got to avoid mortal sins, whatever they call those, and whatever.
I've got to surrender my life to Jesus as Lord.
Surrender my life. Now, of course, you get into an issue here. Do you call such a person an apostate when, let's say, they hold the Lordship salvation? And so the person would say, I believe in justification by faith alone. In fact, they probably, if they're a preacher, preach justification by faith alone. But then they say, but if you really believe, you will have persevering good works because the faith that justifies is never alone.
Or faith is not just simply a persuasion of the truth. Faith is a commitment, a surrender, obedience.
Exactly. So you get into, and most people wouldn't call such people apostates. I would probably myself call them Lordship salvation or work salvation people, but however you described it, they have departed from a major issue of the faith. And it seems to me that 1 Timothy 4:1 is clearly saying it's possible to fall away from the faith, right?
Right. It says some will depart from the faith.
Yeah. Where in 1 Timothy 4:1 does it say anything about losing everlasting life?
I don't even see everlasting life mentioned.
And who is it that Paul is warning Timothy that this might happen to? In the latter times, some will depart from the faith. Well, couldn't that include the people in the church of Ephesus to whom Timothy was working?
Right.
Couldn't even include Timothy?
Oh, that's true.
Look at verse 16. We're running an article in the March-April issue from Dr. Art Farstad, and he comments on 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. I think that's the title of his article. And he says, continue in them, for in doing so, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And Art said, this obviously is not talking about salvation from eternal condemnation, because Timothy can't save himself, nor can he save anybody else from eternal condemnation. In the context, this is salvation from the false teachers, salvation from the doctrines of demons, salvation from the deceiving spirits and their practices. Because if you fall prey to those false teachings, then you are going to reap the consequences in this life and, of course, at the judgment seat of Christ. The issue is not the eternal destiny of Timothy and his readers, starting in 4:1 all the way to the end of the chapter. The issue is, will they be in fellowship with God? Will they be victorious Christians or not? If a believer falls away from the faith, he ceases to be a victorious believer, but he's still born again. You can't lose the new birth. So Mr. D is right to see this as a warning, but he's wrong to see it as a warning that if you fall away, you will lose everlasting life.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful Free Grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
You can't lose everlasting life because it's everlasting. Remember John 3:16, the believer will not perish.
Yeah.
Or John 5:24, the believer has already passed from death into life. John 6:35, the one who comes to me will never hunger, the one who believes in me will never thirst. And in John 6:37, the one who believes in him, he will never cast away. And the same thing in 6:39 and 40, the believer is secure. And in John 11:26, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. These are all statements of eternal security. So, Mr. D, you're right, apostasy is possible for the believer, but you're not correct to say that the believer could lose everlasting life. Actually, Mr. D doesn't say he will lose everlasting life. He's just asking, right?
Yeah, he's just asking. He didn't say that you will. He's just asking, what about this passage?
And did you know that most pastors and most theologians say that even if they believe in eternal security, they say, however, if you commit apostasy, you're going to hell.
Yeah, that's the proof that you never had everlasting life to begin with.
Well, or they may say you failed to win final salvation if they hold that view. But whatever it is, they're saying you can't commit apostasy. And the truth of the Bible is, and you see it over and over again, apostasy is definitely possible. And here, these deceiving spirits probably are talking about not just the false teachers, but what's behind them, which are the forces of Satan. And that seems to be brought out by the doctrine of demons, that these doctrines are coming not from God and the light, but from Satan and the darkness. And so there's kind of a counterfeit Christianity that Satan has inspired, and not every church that people go to is going to be helpful to your spiritual life. Some of them may be leading you astray.
Yeah, Satan is the ultimate source of all false teaching that's out there.
Yeah, and in Ephesians 6, Paul says we don't war against flesh and blood, but we war against these principalities and powers, the angelic realm. Mm-hmm. You know, we have three major enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, the devil is not just Satan himself, but it's all of his fallen angels. And during the time at which he wrote, of course, there was lots of demonic activity taking place as well.
And so apostasy is possible. This is why Paul's even warning Timothy, you need to be careful. Don't fall prey to the doctrine of demons. Don't take heed to deceiving spirits, because it could happen to even you. It's not that you're somehow special. All believers could be subject to this.
Yeah, and we see this in lots of places. Maybe you and I could just talk about some other places where the same kind of idea occurs. For example, the book of Hebrews is all about Jewish believers. That's why it's called the Epistle to the Hebrews. Jewish believers who are in danger of going back to animal sacrifices for their salvation. They're in danger of leaving Christianity and committing apostasy by essentially becoming non-believing Jews who are fellowshipping with unbelieving Jews. And even though they're born again, they have stopped believing the promise of everlasting life. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your fellowship with God. And I think the book of Hebrews talks about that. There's five major warning passages in Hebrews, and all of them warn that if the believers commit apostasy, then they're going to reap negative consequences now, and in the life to come, they will not be chosen to be Christ's partners, his metakoi in the life to come. We also have, I think, a reference to this. Look at James 5, 19 and 20. Now, of course, some of this could be moral failure, but I think James 5, 19 and 20 certainly includes doctrinal failure.
Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins.
Yeah, now the word soul there is the word psuche, and it probably should be translated to save a life here. But the point is, it's possible for a believer to wander from the truth. And if so, they're on the path of death. And unless another believer can get them back before it's too late, that person is going to die prematurely. They're still born again. And we have things like this, for example, how about 1 John 2:28, which Zane Hodges argues is the theme verse for John's first epistle.
And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming.
Yeah, now that verse suggests that if we do not abide in him, but if we depart, which it would be apostasy again, then we were going to be ashamed before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. And I think you can see in Revelation 2 and 3, there's the seven letters to the seven churches. Many of them, they're called to stand fast, because if they were to fall away, then they would lose their ministry and they would no longer be an overcoming Christian. In some cases, they're called to repent because they're currently out of fellowship with God and they need to get right with Him. This is a theme all through the Old and New Testament. Doctrinal fidelity is important.
You can lose eternal reward, but you won't lose eternal salvation.
Exactly. So Mr. D is right that it's important to stand fast on sound doctrine. But there's no way you can lose everlasting life. Once you've believed in him, you are secure forever. So thanks, Mr. D. It sounds like isn't there some kind of fish place called Mr. D? Or what's that called?
Oh, yeah. I think it was Captain D's
Seafood. Captain D. Okay. Yeah. We're going to upgrade you from Mr. D to Captain D.
You've been promoted.
And in the meantime, let's all
keep grace
in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, did Jesus want to avoid the cross? Please come back and join us again. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.